Blog Talk Radio.
All the true worshipers, you don't need no help. Just open your mouth and release that sound that's inside of you. Come on. Got true love instead of pain. That freedom, though you've captured me, I've got joy instead of mourning.
There's beauty in my brokenness.
I've got true love instead of pain. That freedom.
Alberto
Smith. That's Dr. Lorenza D'Alberto Smith. So you'll have DRL D'Alberto Smith on Facebook. Instagram, you'll have Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15. So again, excited to be able to be broadcasting all these different ways. It's a blessing. We started this network of shows about 2 years ago, 2017. And the date and our anniversary just passed, August 27th. We had our first show, which was Talking Sports Plus. We didn't do it on this night, but we had an opportunity to rotate till we found the night that was comfortable for the team of the individual. Now, again, I want you to be a part of it. I see the board begin to fill up with people calling in. That's 347-857-4192. Now, again, if you want to be a part of the show, as I didn't say the first time, if you want to be a part of the show, press 1. I mean, if you got something to say, press 1, and I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I'll ask you to give us your name, location, and offer your comments, questions, or expertise. Now, again, we got an exciting show planned. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can. You can tweet the show at Talking Sports Plus with the number 1, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number 1, at Tremaine Edwards, the number 7, at Coach with the K underscore L underscore Smith. Those are some of the tweeters to be able to tweet some of our co-hosts as well. You get it right, getting kind of caught up right here. Let me drink a little water. Now, if you just want to just email me and just want to talk to me and just share some thoughts with me, you can go to Talking Sports Plus @gmail.com. And we could just go back and forth. I like to do that. But we're being broadcast these 7 different ways, and I got several people filling the board up here on Facebook. I do appreciate it, as well as we have individuals on Instagram. Now, if you, again, as I said, if you want to be a part of it on Instagram, you can go to Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15, and you can be a part of it through Instagram. I like to see that board loaded as well. All right, title of our show tonight is Real Talk About Football Week 6. Now, your question in your mind, why should I check out this talk show? It is the only historical black college and university show, meaning out the void. We want to allow ourselves to have that brand as being the voice of historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're giving the voice to the middle school. We're giving the voice to the high school. We're giving the voice to the historical black colleges and universities. So our format will be filled with things dealing with those historical black colleges and universities, the high school, middle school. We'll do some Power 5. Then we'll also do our Coach's Corner where we talk about certain topics. I'm looking at my board, and I see one of my co-hosts just dropped. I want him to join us back. Make sure you join us back, Coach. I see you drop right quick, but I assume you'll give us a call right back in so we can make sure we have you a part of the show. Now, I don't want to be doing the solo tonight. I got people that join me. Now let me introduce those individuals as they begin to come on the show. You already know who they are because I'm going to ask them when they do join us to let us know what their name is and then offer their comment. Hales from North Alabama. Matter of fact, saw his number just drop. He's coaching up at Chapman Middle School in North Alabama, lives in Meridianville. None other than our king, that's Coach Tremaine Edwards, and I know he's trying to call us back in, so we'll make sure we have Tremaine to say something positive and jump off into our conversation. Also, we have 2 millennials that's joining us, and we look forward to having them as well, and our female other show of the lady of the house, none other than Coach Lauren D. Smith, our millennial. She's one of our millennials. Then we have Coach Cameron Gilbert, another one of our millennials who joined us. Then we have 2 other individuals that joined us. We have our radio personality, and we have our resident expert in regards to high school. Hail from Central Alabama, about 30 miles south of Montgomery. Just retired from working with the High School Athletic Association, the Alabama High School Athletic Association. associate executive director, none other than Touchdown Tony as coach. Tony Touchdown Dalware. He'll be joining us as well. And then last but not least, our radio personality. So glad to have this young man. And I'm going to tell you, he'll be coming in and out. So he's doing a couple of things. Matter of fact, while he's working with us, he's also making sure his radio show is going on well at his radio station. And that's out of Alabama down there, none other than the Don King of all things. He's a conductor of the E-Train. He traveled from North Florida all the way up to Montgomery, from Montgomery to Troy, from Troy down to Dothan, Alabama, and over to Op. None other than Darryl E-Train Elliott. So that individual will be joining us. He'll come in and come out. We do appreciate each and every one of them. So, again, we got an exciting show. And what we want to talk about in regards to sports is real talk about football week 6. And we're going to talk about some topics dealing with that. We're going to start off like we always start off with our historical black colleges and universities. We look at the spotlight. We look at some games that was considered to be spotlight games. Those games was defining moments for those teams in the historical black colleges and universities. And we'll start off talking about Alabama State upset of Grambling University. And that's what it was. It was a major upset because, first of all, Grambling has been dominant in this SWAC for years. Alabama State hadn't beat them in 5 to 6 years. Whether it was home-to-home basis, they just haven't beat them. So they had an opportunity to play them over at the stadium at Alabama State University, Montgomery, Alabama. And they was fortunate enough to be successful this time to win the game, 23-20. And that gives them an upper hand in the east part of the division. For the individual who may not be aware of the historical black college and university conferences, they are four conferences that make up the historical black colleges and universities. I am talking about SWAC, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference, that hails pretty much in the southern part of the state, more to the west. You're talking about consists of teams out of Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas make up the teams of the SWAC. Then we also have the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Teams that make up of that East Coast Board, Atlantic Board, how you want to say that strip, I-95 strip. You have several teams, Howard University. You have teams from Florida all the way up to Georgia, from Georgia up to South Carolina, from South Carolina to North Carolina. Then we also have the Washington, D.C., we have the state of Maryland. We have all those teams that make up that make up the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Then we have the SIAC, which is Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, which consists of teams on a Division II level. Those teams that are playing to play and get to the championship of Division II. That consists of one of the teams that's well-known for many, which is Tuskegee University, but there are other teams that have Clark out of Atlanta, Morehouse, Mars Brown, Miles College. You have Central State out of the state of Ohio. You have Kentucky State out of the state of Kentucky, and you have many of those as well. And I see that one of the co-hosts is joining us back, so we'll give him a chance to do some talking in a minute. I introduced you already, but I was kind of sharing the conference. Coach, and I'm going to let you join in a minute. And last but not least, we have the CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, consists of those teams, Virginia State, teams pretty much part of that. You have Bowie State. You have Shaw, Livingston, and all teams in that area make up the CIAA. Coach, we was just talking about ASU and their win over Grambling, and I want you to share your thoughts in regards to what you heard. Because you know, I always try to talk to one of your running boys, a running fellow, your homeboys, Doug. He said he listened to the show. And I told him to call in, but I talked to him for a while. But you want to share your thoughts? This is Coach Edwards. He's joining us. It's Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Trey?
How you doing tonight, Dr. Smith? Big time win, Dr. Smith. That was a big one, man. It shocked me. My mom called me. She said, Trey, we winning? I said, oh. I said, it's Big Time. I said, is Grambling that bad or is Alabama State that good, Dr. Smith? That's the question we got to ask. So,
and
Alabama State team might be better than what people think it is, Dr. Smith.
I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to tell you, ASU is a different kind of team. The quarterback and the receivers, the quarterback going to be spotlighted tonight on our performance, outstanding performance. They're connecting. There's one particular receiver that he was featured on SportsCenter, and he was part. He got a helmet sticker, and on college football finals, and that's the Jefferson kid, and he was like six catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. But it's a connection between that quarterback, Kadarius Davis, who threw for over 200 and some yards, and it was just that kind of thing that's going on. It's a connection that then the other receivers making sure the line is doing, the defense is playing at a high level, and the coordinator, you pretty much know that I came from A&M. He was at A&M. So that's what we're seeing going on, Coach, and it looks exciting to have that opportunity to be able to be Grambling after 6 or 7 years. Some people said five. I don't ever remember in my recent years that Alabama State didn't beat Grambling, whether it was in Grambling or in Montgomery. And that's one of the things that's going on. So that was a big time win for Alabama State. Brought them to number one in the Eastern part of the conference, the Eastern Division, they call. And they are up in the top slot. University of Arkansas Pine Bluff is in the West. They're at the top right now. So we'll kind of see how that turned out. Now, Coach, share some thoughts on that Alabama A&M when they lost to Stanford. And share that the score was 55-21. But what have you heard? Give us a little short thought,
synopsis
of what happened.
All right, Dr. Smith. Started out the game well. We went up 14-10. Stanford came down, made a good drive. It was 17-14. Alabama A&M answered. We were driving 80 yards down the field, and they threw a deflection. Stanford picked it off, and it rolled from down. I think we got down right there at that instance in the game, Dr. Smith. Because as we saw early on in the game, we could play with them by the first half. But at halftime, when the score was 31-14, I knew we were done. So we just laid on down, Dr. Smith. They ain't in the sweat. So let's get these guys on out of here before we get somebody hurt. And let's roll on. Let's get ready to play next week.
Awesome, awesome. And you have a schedule that's going to be a pretty good game against the SIAC team, which is Temple State down in Mobile. And what
playing a fellow, one of our fellow coaches too, Coach Pearl. Coach Pearl was one of the coaches that recruited me at Morris Brown. That's the relationship me and Coach Pearl have. He's the head coach at Central State, and that's who he's playing. Coach Pearl was an offensive line coach at Alabama A&M, and that's why this game was probably set up, Dr. Smith. But like I tell them jokers all the time, they got to come to A&M, man. We can't be giving that money to Mobile, Dr. Smith. We giving money away. Bring that game on to A&M.
That's awesome, man. I tell you. You know, this is something I think the city of Mobile, Alabama, is trying to restore the Gulf Coast Classic, and A&M has played, I think, 2 years in a row back-to-back down there, trying to build a better relationship down there and recruit a lot of those students out of Mobile. And it's going to work in the long run because the minute ASU left out of there probably about 10 years ago, it allows someone to come in there and play a game. They make sure they bring a game, and that's one of the games. And I know it'd be nice to be at A&M and everything, but I think it helps Mobile. It also helps in your recruiting because you can't send your staff down there and recruit on that Friday night. They got some outstanding football in the Gulf Coast down there, the coastal region of the state. And just to recruit a couple of players and more players to come up that Alabama A&M that's a travel from a southern point of the state to a northern point of the state. So I think that's the purpose of it. And they're going to kind of hang with it for a while and see how it works. So I think it was a good opportunity to play Now, but again, it was always nice to have home and home base. It was always good to have it. But sometimes, as we said, we got to play more of these classic type things. We talked about that last week. Now, I want you to be a part of it as well. That call-in number is 347-857-4192. If you want to, you got some statements you'd like to offer or expertise, just press 1, and I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number, and I will ask you to give us your name, location, and what's your comment, what's the question, or what's your expertise. So we look forward to having you a part of the show. And if you just want to listen to the show, you can go to our web link. I have several vessels I explained earlier, Terrain, that we're working with. We're on Facebook tonight. We're on Instagram tonight, as well as Blog Talk Radio. So we're getting the word out many ways. All right, we're going to move to our next topic of discussion, which is discuss the SWAC, the MEAC, the SIAC, and CIAA standings as of September the 23rd. And I'm just going to share some of them. We can talk about them. And we know things going to change, but I want your expertise on it, coach, to see how these are going to stand, or is going to stay this way, kind of look down the line and see how it's going to change for those teams. Starting with the SWAC, the Eastern leader is Alabama State University, 1-0. And the Western leader, I'm going to kind of call out some of the leaders in, that at the top, University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff. What you think about that, coach? Do you think it'll stay that way? Now, ASU has Alcorn coming up, not this week, but in October the 5th. And I think Alcorn is second. That's going to be a game that everybody's going to keep an eye on. So you can share your thoughts on that, coach.
Yes, deep tie games on both sides. Pine Bluff has Southern this week, so that'll fizzle that side out. And like you said, in a week from now, Alabama State plays Alcorn. So we got, oh God, I don't even know who we got for homecoming about this game. I'm so sorry.
Mississippi Valley?
Either or. That's a big game. That's going to be a big game. If it's Valley, big game on the east side. So if it's Prairie View, we got to win anyway. So it don't matter who it is. We got to win. If it's Prairie View, it's a big game to me. But we got to do what we're supposed to do, Dr. Smith. But big game on that western side with Pine Bluff and Southern. Pine Bluff rolling, Dr. Smith.
Yes.
They rolling over there now.
And you had a chance to see them kind of firsthand, either hear about them when they played up at A&M. And it was a game that started out looking close, but like they blew the thing wide open. So they are rolling on that side. They're the Western leaders at this time. And then you got Alabama State, because I don't even think Alabama State play Pine Bluff. They don't play Pine Bluff.
Right.
So that would be nice to happen. And that ASU win the East and Pine Bluff win the West. Because they're not playing each other in the regular season.
Yes, sir.
So it means okay, that'll give you a two teams instead of having two teams that playing each other. So we'll see how it shake out. I think, again, it's a big game. I know it's a big game between Alcorn and Mississippi Valley because that's over in Mississippi. And that's going to decide something there, too, as well. And it's a rival because you're talking about Alcorn is more in the south part of the state. Not as far south as you should be, but it's pretty much down in that Temple Bar down in northern Mississippi. Then you got Valley, that's pretty much up there, Inabuna up there, closer to Oxford and so on.
Tennessee.
So you talk about your rivals in the Mississippi. That's going to be an outstanding game. The game is going to be at Alcorn on the reservation. That's what they call Alcorn State University. You go to the reservation. You might get in, you can get out. Fortunate enough, Alabama State last year was able to win in overtime, but didn't do anything after that the rest of the season. This year, they're looking positive. We'll see how it's going to be in 2 weeks. They got 2 weeks to get healthy, 2 weeks to get their team together, so they'll be ready to get a good plan into play so they can move forward. And if they can win that game, they still have Jackson State coming after that down in Jackson, Mississippi. So it's a lot going on here. So we have to kind of keep an eye on it, and we're gonna talk about it. We are the voice of the historical Black colleges, universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're excited about bringing you these topics and talking about these teams. All right, Trey, let's look at the MEAC standings. And we'll start off with Howard University. They're ranked number one in the conference. They're 2-1. South Carolina State, 2-1. North Carolina A&T. If you remember, North Carolina A&T in the beginning of the preseason poll was ranked number one in the coaches' poll, Black coaches' poll. It was ranked number one. So they're third so far in their conference. Then you have Bethune-Cookman is number four. Craig, any thought in regards to those teams, what we kind of expect to do? Would it flip-flop? Would there be any changes? Just from this point, we'll be talking about up to week six now.
Oh, most definitely, Dr. Smith. I saw Southern playing FAMU this past week. FAMU don't look bad, Dr. Smith. They came out earlier this year playing bigger teams. They played, I think, FIU, FAU, one of those games, and they played another big time game. They got the Alabama State schedule, so they're playing a lot of money games, so we can't get a real good look of their team because they're not playing athletes in those games. But they came out against Southern, played those athletes, pulled out a big win at FAMU. One of the biggest attendance games that we had this past week, I think it was right at 28,000 at FAMU Stadium. So, shoot, that's big. But I was impressed with how they played against Southern. That's one of our hard hitters out of the scratch. So I'm going to give them kudos on that. And also, they got their MEAC schedule to go. So I'm looking at FAMU. I know that's going to flip-flop because those teams out of Carolina, North Carolina A&T, and South Carolina, they coming with the funk too, Dr. Smith. So I know that schedule is going to go up and down. As we know, Hampton has Francois, right? Is it Hampton?
Yes, but let me say, Hampton is no longer playing in MEAC.
They're in a whole other conference, right?
Yeah, they're in the either the Sun Belt or something in that area right there. They moved over to the Missouri Valley Conference.
Is
they're the over
deep,
there now.
It's the Big Thumb. It's Big Thumb. I seen. I had to look it up. I'm going to look that up. But they don't have it. That's a big move right there, Dr. Smith. So they moved one potential team out of the way.
Exactly. And we can give Francois credit for going there because he said he wanted to go somewhere where he feels, you know, put on this play for the NFL, and he chose Hampton, which is no longer in the MEAC. They're in a group of five conference. So that meant a whole lot. But if he was still in that conference, I think he would kind of have an awesome time because he was looking to come to Alabama State University at one time, but in the recruiting process, he had broken down to two or three schools in the two in the SWAC and one in at that time was thinking the MEAC, but they moved to the group of five with Hampton. He chose Hampton. So that would have been outstanding. But that will be some flip flop of those teams from Howard, South Carolina State, or either North Carolina A&T. North Carolina Central gonna bounce back, Bethune Cookman gonna bounce FAMU. All them teams gonna flip flop in there. So as we give it each week, you'll find out exactly how they stand. So we're so excited about having the chance. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to be a part of the show, me offer your comments, your expertise, press 1. I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or your telephone number and ask you to let us know who you are, what you're calling for, and give your comments, questions, or expertise. All right, Trey, we're going to look at that SIAC, Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. On the east side, Savannah State is number one, and Morehouse is number two, even though they hadn't played many games. Well, I had a chance to see Morehouse earlier this year. They played in a game with Alabama, correct? And it was a nip and tuck, back and forth. And then on the west side, they have Tuskegee and Miles. They're up at the top, 1 and 2. Your thoughts in regards to the SIAC East and West Division League.
What side you said Tuskegee and Miles is on, Dr. Hill?
They're on the West Division.
Okay, the West side is loaded. Saw the score of Miles versus Morehouse game. Miles won very convincingly. So I think whoever comes out that game between Tuskegee and Miles is going to be the winner of the West side, and they will go on to win the championship of the SIAC. Dr. Smith.
Awesome, awesome, Trey. You know, that's you know, Tuskegee has always been at the top. I saw Tuskegee play, and Tuskegee played at a high level against Alabama State University. They lost 38-31, but they can score anytime they want to score, just like ASU was able to score anytime they wanted to score. I don't think it was a lack of defense. I just personally think that those offenses were clicking that day. The players were playing at a high level. So that was a real positive game between them. So Tuskegee and also Miles is rolling at a high level as well. They won the SWAC last year in football and basketball last year. So that was awesome. Miles is out of Birmingham, Alabama. Tuskegee is out of Tuskegee, Alabama. So you're talking about teams that are well-known, that have a rich history, and they're going to play at a high level. So that's how the SIAC looks. We're going to look at the CIAA. They're broken down into division, the Northern Division, and the Southern Division. The leader of the Northern Division is Bowie State. They are 3-0, and running behind them tight is Virginia State. They're 2-1. And in the Southern Division, you have Shaw leading one. They're 1-0, and Livingstone is 0-0. So let's talk a little bit about Bowie State and Virginia State. We know Virginia State has been competitive. That's Coach Reggie Barlow. He got an extended contract recently up there in Virginia, and his team at the top just about every year, winning at least 9 to 10 games. So it's going to be a good battle up there. Bowie State the same way. And on the Southern side, you have Shaw, and Shaw have a game that they're going to be playing to kind of decide what's coming up for them, whether they're going to continue to be leading the Southern Division. They're playing Edwards Water, but it's going to be an exciting game. Because, matter of fact, I know Miles got Edward Waters on the schedule, too, as well as for homecoming. I think the same day, October the 5th, as Alabama A&M homecoming. So that's going to be a decision. This weekend is going to be a big ball game as well to help decide that at CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, and the Northern and the Southern Division of that. So we look forward to giving you some follow-up on the next show to kind of let you know exactly what's going on with those teams. Now, some spotlight teams and the spotlight games for HBCU. We just said Edward Waters at Shaw University. That's the CIAA. Then for the SIAC, you have Tuskegee. Making sure we got Tuskegee going to be playing University of West Alabama. You have Central State out of the SIAC will be taking on Alabama A&M, which is the SWAC. Savannah State will be taking on Morehouse. Those are the spotlight games of the weekend. As well as you look at the SWAC, you have Southern taking on Pine Bluff. That's going to decide the leader in the West, as both of them are in the western part of the division. Mississippi Valley against Alcorn. And in the MEAC, you have Howard University at Bethune-Cookman. Trey, what do you think about it? Bethune-Cookman been playing at a high level, because I know you had a chance to see them play earlier in the year. What do you think about them against Howard, who's leading the conference, and Bethune-Cookman is number 4 in the conference ranked so far?
Bethune is not laying down, Dr. Smith. Bethune is a legit team. I saw Bethune early in the season in the MEAC versus SWAC challenge. And they look very impressive against Jackson State. Ran it up on all aspects of the game. Defensively, they sold it a tight end well. Got big tight ends, 6'7", 6'8" tight ends. They look legit, Dr. Smith. I'm going to give them an upper hand against Howard, because I don't think Howard done played the schedule they done played.
That's awesome, awesome. And they was on television, so we kind of saw them where they play at a level that's high. So it's going to be an exciting game right there between Howard and Bethune-Cookman. Howard is located in Washington, D.C., and Bethune-Cookman is down in Daytona Beach down in Florida on the I-95 corridor. We also have South Carolina State at North Carolina A&T. Remember now, as I call out the 4 top-ranked teams you had at the top, and I was running over to Howard, was ranked number 1. South Carolina State was number 2. North Carolina A&T was 3. And Bethune-Cookman was number 4. So, 1 is playing 4 this weekend, 2 is playing 3. You can't ask for better football than that in the historical black colleges. So it's going to be outstanding on that Atlantic coast. Check it out. We want you to put your meat in the seat. All right, and then the SWAC, as I may have mentioned, Southern and Pine Bluff, Mississippi Valley and Alcorn will be playing, and that's going to be exciting as well. Then we also want to kind of move forward to look at some outstanding performers in week four, starting with Alabama State University quarterback Ladarius Davis. He was 19 for 31, 224 yards and one touchdown. FAMU quarterback Ryan Stanley, 24-39, 355 yards, two touchdowns. Prairie View A&M University, Jalen Morton, 23 of 35, 321 yards, four touchdowns. And Alcorn, Felix Hopper, 25 of 37, 280 yards, two touchdowns. Now, Jalen Morton from Prairie View threw for four touchdowns, 320 yards, but it was in a loss to Alcorn, 45 to 41. Those are the individuals that mentioned outstanding performance. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. We want you to be a part of your Facebook. I thank everybody. I thank you on Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking at numbers here, and each one of them I recognize who's the one that's calling on that, and I do appreciate you calling. And I'll give you a shout-out if you want me to shout you out, because I'm giving everybody on all the other areas a shout-out. So we'll make sure we get to the end of the show. All right, Trey, we're going to look at some NFL spotlight. We normally try to focus in our coaching corner on what's happening in college, or historical black college, but we want to talk about these two topics. This dealing with New York Giants. Trey, was that the right move for the New York Giants to thrust Daniel Jones into the starting lineup? Even though, you know, we wasn't sure, everybody was criticized from the beginning, wasn't sure exactly what kind of player he was. He did well in preseason. In his first game, he won. What you think about that with Daniel Jones?
Big time move, Dr. Smith, and it paid off. The Giants won the game with their two top players out. Saquon Barkley went out with a high ankle sprain, and Peyton Manning, brother, got took out the game. So that's big. That's big, man, for the Giants to win. Everybody didn't give them a chance this year. So with Daniel Jones going there, and that's the difference, Dr. Still. What I be telling these jokers, an NFL quarterback doesn't care what he did in college. And that's what I'm trying to explain to folks. These jokers be watching win the Heisman and stuff in college. They don't do nothing in the NFL. They don't win championships. The guys that win a championship are Joe Blow. They Joe Blows in the NFL. Like Tom Brady was a Joe Blow in the NFL. I mean, in college, he didn't do anything. But he got to the NFL, he's a prototype NFL quarterback. These guys are prototype NFL quarterbacks. And most of your quarterbacks come from smaller schools, and they're prototype NFL quarterbacks. So this guy here came from Duke. He's going to be a prototype NFL quarterback. Watch what I tell you, Doctor.
Awesome, man. I tell you. And you got to understand that everybody has an opportunity. You know, you talk to young people, they always say, what you want to do? I want to be an NFL player. That's possible. You can play in the NFL. You don't have to go to the major university to do that. You can go to a smaller college. It's all about the will and the desire, the dedication, the commitment, and whether you're willing to do what you need to do. So the next topic we're going to talk about, I think that commitment and that dedication and some of the decision-making wasn't good. We're going to talk about Antonio Brown. We're going to discuss why Antonio Brown felt a need to blow $41 million. And you may say, what do you mean? Let's go back to the 6 to 8 month timeline. He wanted his way out of Pittsburgh. He got his wish. He went to the Oakland Raiders, who gave him a $30 million guarantee. So that means he's guaranteed that money if he's able to hit the field for the first game. However, there was some controversy. He had a thing with the prior treatment where all the skin fell off his feet because he had wet socks. Some people said, what are you talking about? You know, the modernization of sports and how we deal with sports medicine now. When I came along playing the game, if I was beat up, I went and sit in a tub. And Trey, understand what I'm talking about, in a hot tub, but it was full of ice. And you drop your body off in there, and what that do is causes your body to just kind of the pain and all that. It just stops at that point. And when you come out, your strength and all the pain is pretty much gone. Now they have the cryo machine. You go sit in the machine, temperature is at below freezing, sit there for a period of time, but you have to have things to make sure you cover up. You're going to have to make sure you have some gym shorts on and make sure you have not wet things that can't be wet. If it do, it'll cause your feet to be frostbitten or cause that you may run into a situation with other parts of your body as well. And Antonio Brown experienced that. So they had his feet all on Facebook, all on Instagram, on Twitter, all on television, you know, where the skin was falling off because it was, you know, frostbitten and it was trying to reheal. He had that situation. Then he had the situation with the helmet and it was creating problems and he was missing practice. So then after he was managed to get a helmet and supporting company to make a helmet and he was going to speak for that, he decided to challenge the GM. They got into a face-to-face argument and wasn't a discussion and words were said. So he was sent a letter. He was fined for missing practice. He didn't like that. He posted a letter on Facebook, posted it on Instagram, posted it on Twitter, wherever, social media. He just wanted to get it out. And then he had a meeting with the coach, and then he went and publicized that meeting. So they let him go. They could take no more. So in essence, he hadn't lost the $30 million yet, but when he got to New England Patriots who picked him up, he was going to get his money if he could have worked through that situation. So we know all what happened there. He was accused of sexual assault by his former trainer, and then he was in the midst of everybody wanting him not to play or play, put him on a commissioner list. The NFL can put a commissioner list, but it put a lot of players who were having problems, criminal cases, and so on. And he was not. He had a chance to play in the game. Then he had a second accuser come out. And he sent, as they said, reported, sent out something to that second accuser. It wasn't good. So the Patriots let him go. So the $10 million that they were going to pay him this year, and if he made it to next year, he would have got the $20 million. Just think about that. That's $40 million. Trey, tell me your thoughts on that.
Tony is a head case for me, Dr. Smith. Like you said, you look at the modern athlete right now when it comes to injuries, man, you know, and I'm going to say this, I suffered two major injuries on my body. I had major knee surgery on both of my knees, ACL, MCL, and PCL on both of my knees. So I know what pain feels like, but for me to fall out on the field because I'm cramping, that's too much for me. That's my pet peeve of my kids right now in middle school. You're cramping, get up. Stop acting like your leg is broke. It still works. Get up and come off the field. These things weren't major issues. I remember playing at Cloverdale when we used to have salt in the Gatorade. So, you know, stuff like that to stop us from cramping. But now they say salt is not a good choice to stop cramps. We didn't catch cramps once we got in that salt. Once we got in that salt and mustard, we didn't catch cramps. They say just drink water. No. Put a little, I remember it being so bad at Cloverdale, we used to take salt tablets, Dr. Smith. And you can probably recollect that. So I don't know what the issues is with that, but we're going to carry on. But for him to hurt himself in the ice machine, the below freezing machine, because he had on some damp socks, is ridiculous. I know it's somewhere in the rule book or the trainer should have known it. See, you can blame anybody for this stuff. I think it was a reason to get a tip because the trainer should have caught that one, Dr. Smith. But as far as Brown, he's doing too much, Dr. Smith. And the key is, what I don't like is you get caught in a situation, but you try to blackball everyone else that got in trouble before you. I didn't like that. So for him to get caught, then he throws Shannon Sharpe under the bus. Then he throws Ben Roethlisberger under the bus. Then he throws Kraft up under the bus. It's not about them. It's about you right now, sir. They done beat their cases. They done paid who they need to pay. It's about you. So do what you need to do to get yourself better. And with him saying, you know, I'm going to just go back to college and get my degree, that's fine. Do that. Because you're basically trying to be the center of the NFL right now. Just do what you got to do. And this the key, Dr. Smith, with this situation now. That hurt him. When he got released by the Patriots, that hurt him. People don't believe it or not. That hurt him. That's why he lashed out like that. That hurt him. Because he was on the team where he bought in and he was ready to play. And they shot him down anyway. They got you anyway. The NFL got you anyway. So that's that, Dr. Smith. So I ain't got too many words for Brown.
Awesome. That's an awesome trade. It was awesome. And I'll go back and I'll tell everybody, he talked about Cloverdale. I was his football coach at Cloverdale. So I don't want to talk much about that because his mom always gave me a hard time because he broke his arm over there. And I had that mentality. I play with a broken arm, and you can do it too. But it's not like that now. We got to understand we have to be on top of things. And all these things you're dealing with, like taking care of your body, is so important. So we just want to make sure you understand these things are happening with this young man. A lot of his chosen things that he chose to do. And he's all right. He has made about $6 to $7 million. That's the money that he's worth at this time was $6 to $7 million. So now he lost $40 million. That just don't comprehend with most of us who work hard every day and try to make sure we make it from time to time. But sometimes we struggle. But to just do everything to throw away $40 million, I just don't understand that. But it's a discussion that we're talking about. We hope he do get back in school. Take him a couple of counting courses that I understand he's taking. But when he get a chance to come back to the NFL, I don't know he will or not, but if he do, change that behavior, change that. But sometimes players, and a lot of players are like that because they're the superstar, nothing gonna mess with them. You can't do that. You have to have me, and you really don't have to. So Antonio Brown didn't set a good example. So about young people, and they always say, oh, be like him. Nothing wrong. You did play. He's one of the greatest receivers I've seen in this era. However, the other behavior, we have to not do it because we're a label. It affects other people and it affects other individuals of our culture. So we have to kind of be careful of that. So that's something we're going to keep an eye on, see what's going to happen with Antonio Brown. But we want to kind of move to our college football spotlight. We're going to look at Auburn road win over Texas A&M as well as Oregon. Will this put Auburn in a contention as a contender spot for the college football playoff? Say what you think about Auburn being a contender, not a pretender.
Shoot, it look good right now, Dr. Smith. They got a long way to go though, but it look good. It look real good. The Gus Bus look good, man. Meek is buying in. He's doing what he's supposed to do. The defensive line at Auburn is playing ball, man. It's going to be a knockdown drag out when Auburn play LSU. It's going to be a good one. Auburn also plays Georgia, too, don't it, Dr. Smith?
Yes.
Auburn has one of the toughest schedules in the SEC.
That's awesome. And now we have Georgia. Let me introduce our other co-host. He's Touchdown Tony. None greater than this young man. He's known the most as Coach Tony Stallworth. I call him Worth, but we give him that title he received from a show he used to be on about 8 to 10 years ago. Touchdown Tony. How you doing, Touchdown Tony?
My brothers, I'm in here. I've been a little quiet practice there, trying to get some other things done. Of course, I always keep my plug in my ear and try to get back in on a timely way. Hey, it's football going on. What about them Hornets? Woo, I know y'all talked about that. That's a good one, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. We talked about them Hornets. Look, if you can share your thoughts, man, because you were there as well. Anything you want to share, we'll mind going back talking about it a little bit.
I think the resilience of that game showed being in games like UAB and taking it on the chin from Kenshaw kind of put them in a more of a competitive mode. They could have really folded. But I saw some things that caused me to appreciate those two games that they played with Kenshaw and UAB, because I'm going to tell you, you can't beat anybody unless you play somebody.
Yep.
And sometimes you got to give up something in order to get something. And be 1-0 right now, a lot of people that know anything about the game, Dr. Smith, Tremaine,
yeah,
have already forgot about them two losses and said, let's move forward. That's
yes,
the way
yes,
it
sir.
Is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what you want to think about. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. I'm going to slow it down. 347-857-4192. Press 1. Identify your last 4 digits of your cell telephone number, and then I actually identify who you are, where you're calling from, and give us your comment question as well as your expertise. We have several people on the board, but no one is press number 1 yet. So we got people on the board that could be a part of it. They just listen. It's all right. It's good to have them on there. Worth, we was talking also about Auburn and their big win over Texas A&M, as well as going back to Oregon. Will this make them a contender for the college football playoff? Give us your thoughts on that.
I think, and Tremaine hit it with a high point. A tier one, I call it, Tremaine. Tier one, you hit it with. When you got defensive line like that, and you allow a young quarterback, and I'm gonna tell you something about Bo Nix. I've been following Bo Nix when I was with the High School Athletic Association when he was Penson, from 11th grade, 10th grade, 12th grade. He is one of those guys that possess the willingness to go far and beyond. He will take chances. And being able to be coached by his father allowed him probably more opportunities than probably if he was playing for a regular coach. Because I've seen them get into some toe-to-toe and chest-to-chest, even on the sideline. But, you know, sometimes you don't get into that biological-type communication because that's between them, there, so to speak. But I'll say this. Bo is not going to get exposed with that defense playing the way they're playing. I don't think they have the receivers to really embark on maybe predicting them to be a better team than LSU, but I think they have enough defense to slow LSU down to a certain extent. But be mindful now, this ain't the old LSU. The old LSU,
yep,
with Les Miles going, pack it up, put it in their pocket and run dead at you and hit you with one every now and then. They're throwing it all across the field, and I think the defensive back are probably more of a suspect than the quarterback, or will be going down the line. But I just like the chemistry. They found a way to win. When you find a way to win, that's a dangerous team. That's a dangerous team. So I'm glad to see that the quarterback situation could be pretty solid. And really, they got two quarterbacks to be perfectly honest with you. And having the defense that they had, that same defensive line was predicted to be good last year, has come forefront. But I'm going to tell you something now. You're looking at Alabama at 2. You're looking at Georgia at 3. You're looking at LSU at, is it 4 or 5? 4? And then you're looking at Auburn at 7. Somebody ain't going to be able to go.
Yes,
so that's good for us to have that type of play. So I think, to answer your question, I think they are contending. And as long as you're contending, you got a chance to be a contender and not necessarily a pretender. That's just the way I grade them right now.
Awesome. We're going to kind of move the show. We got about 9 minutes left on it. We're going to get to the high school and middle school storyline. And I'm going to start with Coach Elworth. He can share some thoughts. Then I want Coach Stallworth to come in and share some things in regards to the high school athletics in the state of Alabama or any other state you want to talk about. But Coach Everett, will you share some thoughts about the middle school and the high school division up in your part of the country?
Yes, sir. Big time win by McGain Clinic Jet, man. They beat Florence 52-21 this past week. Looking good. What else I got for you? Jemison is 1-4. Lee is 1-4. Huntsville plays Sparkman, I think, this Friday. That should be a good one. Huntsville versus Sparkman. Grissom played Sparkman last Friday, so this is going to be a good one. So that's the high schools up here. Middle school, Chapman Indians 4-0. We won today 44-30. Big time game versus Whitesburg Middle. Both teams undefeated 3-0. Huntsville won the night before versus Morris 44-14. They're 4-0-2. So Huntsville and Chapman are the two top contenders at the top right now. 4-0. Both 4-0. Whitesburg 3-1. McNair Middle 3-1. Hampton Cove 3-2. Hampton Cove is 2-2. I'm sorry. 2-2. So that's your top five right there in your middle schools at Huntsville, Alabama.
Awesome. And Coach Worth, want to share some things with our high school athletes, so those teams.
Yes, the poll hadn't changed that much. In 7A's got a little bit of a twist. I'm going to do it kind of quick. I know you're in essence of time, Dr. Smith. Thompson is still at number one at 5-0. McGill Tulane, of course, Mobile is 4-0. But let's look at that. Central Phoenix City is at 4-1. Their only loss came to Hoover, and Hoover is number four at 4-1, and their loss came from Thompson. Boy, it's going to be some regional football played in 7A.
Yes.
And, of course,
yes,
our local Lee High School is 5-0. It has a big game with Carver this weekend. And Dr. Smith, I think me and you are going to be in that one, don't you think so?
Yeah, I think
so. And Carver
so.
Is
so.
6. Yeah. Now, I like the fact that, you know, teams, like I said last week, like the St. James and the Montgomery Catholics are really representing. You got St. James at number three there, and 3A there at number eight. And you're looking at, in 5A, you're looking at Clay County, and that's a good matchup coming this weekend, too, at number two. UMS Wright is still on top. That's the defending state champion from last year. Speaking of Montgomery Catholic, they're number three in 4A. And
okay. Big
game down this way, Dr. Smith, on this weekend. You got Luverne at 2A versus Brantley in 1A at number 4, both undefeated. We call it the six-mile rivalry. And I think football is getting ready to wind down. It's getting down to be crunch time. All of the pretenders fixing this fall under the tent. And I think high school football in the regional this year are going to be real interested. Don't count Dalton out over there. You know, Dalton got two schools combined over there now. They're 3-2 with that. You got your boy, that Scotty Crowder over there, Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You got Dalton and Northview combined. So that's it for high school football. And not a whole lot changed, but a whole lot to remain. See you at the bowl tomorrow night, Dr. Smith. I think that's going to be a good one.
Yeah,
if it ain't a good game, if it's not a good game, it'd be a good place to be.
Oh, yes, sir. Most definitely. And I thank both of those co-hosts for joining us. Like I said, we've had three others, and they just come in and they explain to them. And keep in mind, this is volunteer. So when we're volunteers doing something, it's like, let me take this opportunity to shout out, give out shouts out to those individuals. On Instagram, you have Sandra Rossenmore. You have GG_1968, and I made sure Mars. I made sure I give a shout out to her, but I'm gonna get that name right. Is that NML_Mars? Thank you for joining us on Instagram, and let me give a shout out to all those people on Facebook. I appreciate it. I'm so excited to see everyone of them. I got some numbers and I have some names I can call out on our blog talk radio, and I'm going to do that. We have Seneca Winterspoon, Rose Holler, Lisa Maria Smith Sarad, Moni Love Michelle. We have Mercedes Felicia Clifford. We have guitar roles. We also have Brandon Kimbrough. We have Deacon Reginald Roof. Brandon Kimbrough is one of my frat brothers. I want to give him a shout out. Thank you, frat, for joining us. Deacon Reggie Roof, that's my nephew. Thank you, Deacon Roof. Andrea Melly. Tanya Daniels, you remember Delta Sigma Theta. I can see her at the bottom, and some others probably have it too, but I can't see everybody. You have Leticia Triggers, Charlie's Angels, that's Nurse Jennifer. Thank you so much. Another one of my former players we have here, Anthony Rudolph, he played football and basketball for the Dial at McKenzie when I coached down there. Thank you, Anthony. Tanita Arrington Mitchell, she's joining us, a family friend. We have Christian Barrows. We have joining us. We have Leah Campbell, Coretta Barlow, a first cousin of mine. Thank you, Coretta family. Marvin Smith. Thank you, Marvin. You're joining us. Katrina Felders. We have another fraternity brothers, Raynard Jumpstart Smith, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Danae Gilbert, Samantha Smith. We have Belinda Samples out of Dallas, Texas, or out of Texas, a member of Beta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. We have Maria Incarnacio joining us. She's joining us often. William Scott, a good friend of mine, the former mayor of Marshalls, Alabama. Thank you so much. Jennifer Edwards, a sister, a biological sister. Wanda Warren Franklin. Thank you, Wanda. Tamika Renee Harden. Tasima Jackson, Sunshine, they call her. Big Red, they call her. Ella St. James. We have Melba Hope Wright. Monique Sunshine Boyd. Thank you, Monique. We have Mary Jane Pauley. She's joined Worshipful Alabama State University. Teach a blast aerobic over there on Monday and Wednesday night, 5:30. Go over there and check her out. We also have, again, we have Sandrico Edwards, the wife of Coach Tremaine Edwards, member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Thank you. That's my niece, Cynthia Rogers. Thank you, Cynthia, for joining us. It's so good to have you on there. You send some positive messages every day on Facebook. Thank you so much. Those are individuals joining us on Facebook. Then we have on those individuals joining us on Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking down. I see Jennifer Edwards. I mentioned her name. She's joining us as well on a Blog Talk Radio. I see Crystal Porter, one of my sisters of Beta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And I have my co-host, one of my co-hosts also joining us on Blog Talk Radio. That's Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of Georgia. She's joining us to be with Talking Real to You. And last but not least, I introduced this young man already. That's Anthony Tony Stallworth, better known as Tony Stallworth. I appreciate you for joining each and every one of you all. We had an awesome time tonight. We're at the end of the show now. Coach Stallworth, you got any other words you want to share with us before you go, as well as Coach Elbert?
We just want to say, listeners, just prepare for a great weekend of football starting tomorrow night. College, high school, Friday night high school, Saturday college, NFL. Boy, I'm telling you, thank God for the world of sports. But anyway, to all of you, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
Awesome, awesome. Coach Edwards, you got anything you want to share with them before you get out of there?
Y'all have a great night tonight, Dr. Smith. Ain't much. We good. Let's roll tide this weekend, baby. Got old Miss, man. Y'all have a great night.
Who y'all playing? Who's Alabama? What high school team Alabama playing this week?
Old Miss. We got Old Miss this week.
Old Miss High School. Okay. That'd be a good one.
Awesome. Everybody have an awesome time. It's the rest of the night and tomorrow. My hashtag is keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. And last but not least, as we close this thing out, I love you. It ain't a thing you can do about it. We're going to offer you something all in the plan. Paul Morton and Leandro Johnson.
Thank you for this again.